Good morning, everybody. This is a special board meeting, May 22nd, the Orange County. Are we officially the Workforce Development Board?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. So the board hasn't, the supervisors haven't voted on it, okay.
Orange County Development Board.
So we are officially the Orange County Development Board for a few more weeks, possibly. So let's call to order. We have a flag, yeah, let's do the Pledge of Allegiance this morning. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Saying the Pledge of Allegiance reminded me last night there was a award ceremony in Liso Viejo at the high school. And when the Marine got up to, the Marines gave a scholarship. And as soon as he came to the podium, all the students, there were several hundred of them that were being recognized for various awards, in unison got up and stood up for that. And it reminded me, also when the Air Force gave a scholarship, and Lieutenant Colonel, the lady, got up the podium, everybody stood up. And it reminds me that there is a, despite all of the drama that's going on in our country, there is a very strong feeling of support for the country as a whole. And it was very, very uplifting for me last night. Okay, so let's do a roll call.
Bob Bunyan?
Here.
Bob Burnett?
Here.
Rob Claudio?
Here.
Janelle Cranch? Ellie Reza Jazerari? Kevin Landry? Trung Lee? Lorraine Helen Lee? John Luker? Doug Mangione?
Here.
Barbara Mason?
Here.
Gary Matkin?
Here.
Ernesto Medrano? Mike Rain? Todd Sword, Tom
Tessinari. Okay. So we don't have a quorum. We need three more. Thank you, board members, for attending this morning. Members of the public can address the development board on items listed within the agenda, as long as the subject matter is within our jurisdiction. If you do want to make a comment, there are some comment sheets available for application sheets available. We do have two items today that are on the agenda. One is the information on the SEDS, and the other is a application for University Lab Partners, which is an action item. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to staff to update us on SEDS. We've all seen the SED strategic plan was done, and this is an opportunity for us to now everybody get up to speed on this program that we're responsible for. So, Karma, take it away.
So I'm actually going to turn it over to Karen. She is going to give us an overview of what our SEDS project goals are, and then she's going to give you an update of where the work that we've done since the beginning of the year, and then a project that's being presented for board consideration. So Karen, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Okay. You want?
I think she's got slides.
Sorry, we're having a little bit of tech issues this morning, but I'll go ahead and start. First and foremost, I wanted to give you guys just a brief reminder of the SEDS and the 2019-2023 SEDS report that we created that was approved last year. So basically, you have the PowerPoint in front of you too. Should be into folders. I don't know what.
It's going to be under the first tab behind the SEDS report.
Yes.
So we're going to be on that second slide. Yes, perfect. Anybody there? Okay, so what is this, Ed? Basically, it's our regional strategic plan. It created, and it's like a regionally owned process. So the key component in establishing and maintaining a robust economic ecosystem by helping to build regional capacity that contributes to individual firm, which is business and community success. In order to be eligible for federal EDA funding, Assets has to be approved and in the Orange County region for projects to be considered for Assets funding. So it's developed every 5 years, and every year we have to submit for an update just to let EDA know what has been accomplished, what we're doing with SETS. I'm going to move on to the overview. So in the SETS, we highlighted some needs and opportunities in the region to really figure out how funding should be deployed. We presented the current economic conditions of Orange County for those who live and work in the Orange County area. It also identified the red zones, which are the economically vulnerable areas, and which we should invest economic improvement activities for. It also proposes actions on issues involving the residents living in the red zones. Some of the performance objectives that we highlighted, there were three. So the first one was the number and types of investments undertaken in the Orange County region. The second is the number of jobs retained in the region, and the amount of private sector funding that we can leverage for the region. So those are the three. For the 2019-2023 SETS, we identified five goals. The first one is provide world-class education, career, and workforce opportunities to address the skills gap. Number two, focus on residents living in the red zones, which are areas of low income and high unemployment. And number three, promote key priority clusters, which are advanced manufacturing, healthcare, IT, and hospitality and tourism. Also, number four, improve OC's economic competitiveness in the global economy. And the last but not least is plan for and develop state-of-the-art infrastructure. So there's a little asterisk by advanced manufacturing, because Orange County is really unique, and it pertains to this project. Is that medical devices cluster, which is goes under advanced manufacturing, accounts for 7.4% of the national employment in that cluster. Does that make sense? Okay. And we're first ranked in the nation in Orange County. Moving on, some of the highlights and stats, we talked about the employment opportunities that were available. In 2018, individuals with bachelor's degrees had the most opportunities. And the most in-demand occupations in Orange County included software developers and registered nurses. So really highlighting the convergence of IT and healthcare together. Then we went on and talked about red zones. So Orange County as a whole didn't qualify as a red zone. So we drilled down, and the cities itself didn't qualify either. But we had individual census tracts within the city that actually qualified as red zones. So some of the trends that we saw in the red zones was, as you can see, like the average age was much lower, the ethnic distribution in the red zones, and the average red zone employment by major industry sectors. So as you can see, the service industry was, you know, proportionally higher compared to everything else. Some historical projects that have taken place in Orange County. We haven't had a project in the Orange County region for a long time. So in 2009, there was a project submitted by the city of Anaheim.
I'll do it.
2009 in the city of Anaheim, EDA funding of $7.2 million. And that was for the Anaheim Canyon Development Project. In 2012, the city of Garden Grove submitted for a project for $2.9 million, and that was for infrastructure improvements to Harbor Boulevard. So that's SETS in a nutshell. Now I'm gonna go on and talk about the project that's actually being submitted right now for EDA funding consideration.
Karen, I noticed that the only two that we've done were for cities, so public agencies. This one is for a private entity. So there is no restriction in terms of the type of applicant.
There is restriction. So you have to be a nonprofit or a local government entity within the Orange County region.
You have to be a nonprofit.
Yes. So like a 501c3.
Mm-hmm. Or a public agency.
Yes.
The last one was done 7 years ago. Have there not been any applications since then? Or were they just didn't rise to the level that we could move forward?
I wasn't here for that portion of it, so I can't speak for it, but that's information that we could probably research and find out if there were projects submitted.
We don't believe there was any submittals.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions? Okay. So the project, it's called University Lab Partners. It's a wet lab incubator, and they're applying for equipment-only funding. And the Beal Family Foundation is applying for it, and it's going to be located in Research Park in Irvine, California. It's in partnership with UCLA, but it's not actually on the campus. So they're adjacent to the UCLA campus. So I want to go and talk a little bit about the biotech industry and why that's important to us, some of the industry trends. So what exactly is the biotech industry? The biotech industry is very unique because it has extremely high levels of innovation that are saving and improving lives through advancements in biomedical, energy, and advanced food and industrial technologies. There's opportunities with wages and incomes that support a high standard of living, so it's really appropriate for Orange County. The biotech industry wages are consistently higher and growing faster on an average than those of the overall economy. So on average, U.S. biosciences worker earns nearly $99,000 in 2016. In California, that's $108,000, so it's even higher in California. 85% greater than the average for the overall private sector earnings, which is $61,000 in California. In California, direct employment in life sciences increased 10% between 2011 and 2016, from 327,000 jobs to about 360,000 jobs. It's also expected to increase another 2% by 2021. And the source of that is from Biocom, the economic impact. So in the OC, the biotech industry continues to reflect those higher earnings. Orange County is home to more than 48,000 life science industry jobs, with average annual earnings of these jobs at $86,000 per year. It's higher than LA County. Generates about $33 billion annually in county economic activity, which is the output, and it boosts local value added, which is the gross product, by $17.4 billion, and it supports 122,000 jobs and increases labor income in the county by $9.8 billion per year. So key life sciences industry cluster in Orange County is medical devices, which we talked about, and diagnostic equipment manufacturing. We have a huge location quotient, so this is even more recent than the last statistic we pulled. It's actually 5.83, and it rose from 4.2 in 2011.
Not sure what location quotient.
Okay, so location quotient basically is for every company in the nation, we actually have 5 biotech companies that's here. So it's like a multiplier of 5.8. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
And later on, I guess we'll talk about why that is.
Okay. So what exactly is an incubator? When this project first came across my desk, I was like, what is a wet lab incubator? So incubators provide startups for resources, network connections, and tools to succeed within their industry. It's kind of like those WeWork spaces, like you've seen, where small companies or startups, they can't afford their own space, so they come and rent just a little area. It could be a desk or an office. And they share equipment like copiers and fax machines and the internet and whatnot. So it provides an array of services, from assistance with like basic presentation skills to access to high-end, in this case, expensive shared equipment at little or no cost. High-speed internet, assistance with business etiquette and regulatory compliance, and also strategic partner connections. So for the biotech sector, like funding is very important. like getting those patents through. Access to loan funds and bank loans. So incubators are really well known in the tech industry, and it's essential at startup. Like, you'll probably hear of companies like Reddit, Airbnb, DoorDash, Dropbox. Those are all examples of companies that were incubated at an incubator prior to, you know, being super successful.
So I have a question. Yeah. So do we have, like, is there like an agreement with certain biotech companies that if you're going to pursue this funding for this infrastructure, that they're already working towards being part of that incubator project?
I'm not understanding your question.
Is there like a commitment from biotech companies already since you're pursuing the funding?
Yes.
Yeah.
They already have the university in their business plan, you'll see.
Okay.
They already have commitments from companies that want to rent space.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was my question.
Yes. Life science incubators are referred to as wet lab incubators, indicating that the lab is being used for the analysis and testing of drugs, chemicals, and other forms of biological matter. So that's why they're called wet lab incubators. So the project is called University Lab Partners. It's approximately 17,000 square feet of professionally managed wet lab incubator facility located in Research Park at UCI. It was the former Broadcom space that had been empty for a number of years. They're seeking $3 million in EDA project funding for movable scientific laboratory equipment. This is really important because it enables the bioscience and medtech companies to access unique research capabilities that were previously not available in the Orange County region, and a network of technical business and talent resources at a really economical low cost. So the foundation that's applying is the Beal Family Foundation. They're a nonprofit 501c3 currently located in Newport Beach, founded in 1989 by former Rockwell International CEO Don Beal with his son Ken Beal, who are real estate entrepreneurs. Just some history on the Beal Family Foundation. They've contributed approximately $30 million in philanthropic contributions to encourage innovation and entrepreneurship in this type of industry, the scientific and technical fields. They believe, some of their beliefs are, this is a direct quote, America's competitiveness hinges on speeding the process for bringing innovations to life. So if a professor is developing the next sliced bread, per se, and gets industry input, he may learn that a slight modification would turn his invention into a billion-dollar company. The only thing missing ingredient is access for the private industry to be able to access that innovation or that technology. So in 2015, the Beals made a $5 million contribution to create UCI Applied Innovation, giving corporations that front door. This is a floor plan, and it's currently in construction right now. So you have a snapshot of what the lab is going to look like. So there's offices and culture labs, fume hoods, you know. So in partnership with the Beal Foundation, we conducted a needs analysis, which EDA required. So we interviewed 17 private companies, including UCI Applied Innovation, LAOCRC of the community colleges, which is the consortium, and Octane OC. The results that we found that there's a high and growing demand for this proposed wet lab incubator space, as there's currently no wet labs in Orange County at this time. And also, the wet lab incubator will also serve as a platform for activities associated with tech-based education, so like work and learn programs for even underserved communities with partnerships like the community colleges. So it'd be like a private-public educational partnership to train qualified people to work in this field. So the numbers, these are all the companies that were interviewed. So in total, just from these companies alone, the direct jobs that will be created is 720 over the next 9 years. And estimated private investment leverage is about $93 million.
Karen, so these companies were interviewed by the Beal Family Foundation?
So the EDA requires, you'll see in your packet, the EDA requires the ED900B form. So basically they deliver that form to the company and say, okay, how many, if we did this project, how many jobs would this project create for you? How, you know, how does it impact your company? So that was the process. And this is, I think some of these companies are already like going to be using the facility, so they have existing relationships too. So you'll see big companies like Edwards Life Sciences on here,
right.
Celgen.
Are all of these Orange County companies?
Yes.
Okay.
And the lab alone is going to create 30 jobs in itself.
Gotcha. Okay.
Any questions? So that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Question, sorry.
Yes.
Of the 720 jobs, I'm presuming there's a range of technical support roles.
They didn't define that, so it would be hard for me to really say exactly what type of jobs they are.
One of the features of this program, the job feature, one thing that might be missing here is the talent that's needed in those jobs and the education that's needed for those jobs. And the educational organizations or organizations, the institution, higher education institutions in Orange County can supply those jobs, but there doesn't seem to be a plan associated with this project to get the talent to the right spot. And I'm wondering if there's any thought has been given to that. I'm now not only Dean of Continuing Education, but I'm Vice Provost for Career Pathways, Career Services on our campus. And actually, undergraduate bioscience majors are not terribly successful in getting jobs. They start out wanting to be doctors, and then they decide they're not going to be doctors, and they go on. So there's a talent pool that is being developed, but there's not a real clear pathway into jobs. And this seems like there might be a good way of somehow integrating what we're supposed to do in this board with this project.
Yes, I definitely see a lot of opportunities there in regards to, you know, the workforce development piece. I've had conversations with the Bill family representatives, and they are on board when this project launches to have further discussions on what that's going to look like.
I just want to point out in the application that if you look at the application on page, it's not numbered, under section B2, they talk about just kind of that they're going to serve the platform for STEM education and create opportunities for student engagement, employment, and earn and loan opportunities. So they do have that in consideration with this plan. So that's going to be behind tab 2. And then there is a packet that has their actual application that they submitted to EDA. And in that application, they identify that they have intentions of creating a learning pathway for these opportunities.
And then my only addition to that would be having some of our already experienced customers that are in our system.
Absolutely.
That have a degree, that work, you know, have some kind of experience that can be funneled into some of those opportunities.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And so the next step for us would be to look at creating on-the-job opportunities, as well as identifying need for them and identifying people that are in our workforce system that could meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
What we really need to do is identify the skills, the very defined skills at a fairly granular level that are needed by these employers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have those defined skills, then all of us who are in higher education students can figure out the pathways at various levels for those skills. And in fact, we several of us have what's called badging capabilities for really certifying particular competencies and particular skills, and we've talked about that a with you a little bit. And so I think they're part of the pathway would be building, really identify these skills and then doing attestations on competency of those skills.
So we're going to use the sector meetings that we've been launching over the last couple of months to develop that pathway and to identify what employers are saying they need in terms of skill sets to create or help people transition to the job openings that they have now and in the future. I hope to have a report from John Melville by the end of this quarter to share with the board about what our findings have been in terms of these industry sector launch conversations and these engagement sessions that we've had with employers in the community.
I noticed that we started with item number one, but we actually morphed into item number two.
Well, we can't vote on item number two, so if you go behind tab two, the actual letter that we are requesting the board to vote on, but unfortunately we don't have quorum, so we are not able to vote on
the
item today.
So we're basically on information for both these items right now.
Right.
Looking at it from our standpoint, that we're basically at 30,000 feet. There's a lot of technical background and information that's involved in this, but in distilling it down into the basics, it's a $3 million request. For equipment for a $40 million facility that just based on the thickness of the book, there's a lot of background that's been done on this. And for those of us that have been around.
Oh, excuse me.
Hey, Todd.
Sorry.
One down, two to go.
Yes. I managed to pull it together.
Well, thank you for
family
being
thing
here
this morning. Good morning, everybody.
The bill. Well, Don Beal was very well known in this community, certainly Rockwell. So it has a lot of the credibility factors. For these types of things, I kind of like to look for making sure there aren't any fatal flaws somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat hard to do without having had this in advance to go through it. So this does give me a chance. I mean, gives the board a chance to, if they wish, to get dive a little bit deeper. But just based on our experience and knowledge, and some of us have more than others on this particular subject, it's very clear that these cooperative workspaces is really a not just a trend, but it's really a sign of the times. It's a reaction to the workforce of today. Now, I say that because I kind of relate to other industries, the real estate industry here, and cooperative workspaces. It's a big deal amongst developers today. It didn't exist when I was in the business. My daughter in New York, she's in Manhattan. She's an assistant manager for a theatrical cooperative workspace. And I visited with her. It's a big building, and it's got this central core, and all of these writers and musicians, and they all get together. And then they rent out the rooms. And I thought, wow, that's a sign of the times. So here we have an example of a wet lab, a specialized incubator space. And certainly the university is a place that it needs to be. Almost 20 years ago, I asked for a study. We hired a consultant that was in the biomedical area to study our business park down there in terms of attracting biomedical companies. This is a 20-year-old study, and one of the conclusions that he came to, or his of the team, was that for any of these biomedical firms to really coagulate, they needed to be near the university, or they needed to have relationships with the university. That was the key. And here we are 20 years later, and we see it happening. And typically it starts off slow and then it just, you know, does the exponential curve. So I guess I'm kind of concluding that this is an application that certainly has merit, and it's one in which I don't know if there are any fatal flaws. I typically like to look at, well, who's sponsoring this? You know, it's like, you always kind of look at the credibility. I've been exposed to a number of deals where the underlying financial foundation looked good, but it wasn't. That the project had merit, but it didn't have a team to carry it off. So those types of things. I don't know much about University Lab Partners. I was telling to me that the criteria would be a nonprofit and a public agency that can apply for these. So my thought that, well, gee, you know, we should, maybe there's private sector companies that can apply. It doesn't sound like it is unless they form a nonprofit.
I just have a thing. So could clarify, like, our role in this. It looks like we're putting a letter of support to support this. One of our signatory contractors is actually working on that project. So where do, once we put the letter of support, this is coming from the EDA. What is the development board's role or your role in this once it's
So I want to start with the fact that you've been appointed by the Board of Supervisors as being the overseer of local SEDS projects. So that means that no one can enter into this community and propose a SEDS project without this board's approval on the projects, right? And so this particular entity has submitted an application to EDA that is currently pending and will not be or move through that process without your letter of support. So it's almost as if no one can enter or create a project in this area without you knowing about it and actually being a part of it or having plans for it. So now that we are aware of this project, what we would do after it goes through the approval stages is actually engage with them and start trying to find opportunities for our workforce programs to be engaged with their with the work that they're doing and the hiring needs. And I want to establish that with projects moving forward, that if you're entering into Orange County, there really needs to be a strong connection with the Orange County Development Board. I got to change the name. And the SIDS department to ensure that there are opportunities being made available to residents of Orange County. Our goal in this project is to try to meet at least two of our goals in the SIDS report that we presented to the state, and saying that this is what we're doing as an entity, that we are focused on residents living in the red zone. So that's one of the things that we're going to try to do with this project. And then the second thing is to improve Orange County's economic competitiveness in the global economy. So that's the two objectives that we see as our role in this project. So we definitely understand and want to ensure that anyone who's planning on working with us to keep for said funding, that they have to be engaged with this organization to further the mission of our goals.
Okay, so that raises then the question of timing. Does this application, from their standpoint, have a timing issue?
It really does, because they've already submitted to EDA, and the intention, we did a doodle poll to try to get the board members together to try to vote on this project, and we weren't successful, and then today we called a meeting, and we are not successful. We really do need this board to vote on whether or not we approve this letter so that they can move forward. If we do not approve this letter, I don't believe that they're able to move forward with their EDA application.
So what is our next steps now? I mean, we can't vote on this.
Right.
I would be
You're
in favor
have to call,
of it, but
yeah. Call another meeting.
Okay.
And then ensure the board members.
And you know, now that we know, I know a lot of people, they you know, they haven't been on the board a long time. They didn't know what SEDS was. What is this meeting?
Yeah.
I've got to do this. But if we want to be important as a board, then we need to show up. So I can call some people too.
Okay.
Well, I clarify. So we're not able to vote today,
right?
But they can't move ahead.
Wow.
So the question then is, when do we need to meet in order to be able to get their application through?
Yes.
We received a letter.
The Bell family already received a letter stating that they need to get a letter It's scheduled to go in front of the review committee on June 7th, and they have to have this in place before June 7th, submitted and processed.
And don't forget that their project start date was July of 2019.
So what's preventing us from crafting a letter right now? Or
we have a letter.
They have a letter.
We don't have a quorum.
We need 9 people today.
We don't have a quorum.
Well, I made it.
No, we're missing two.
Sure, two.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised it took them so long to come forward. This is dated April 18th.
I think so, that, I don't know that there was an understanding in the community that
they had to do this.
Yes, nor that we existed and that you needed our support.
Got it.
I mean, we can let EDA know, Economic Development, we can let them know that our letter's coming, or we could say, you know, something. But they have time, they can mark that. I've done EDA grants before. Yeah, yeah.
No. I think that rather than send them a letter saying it's coming, I think that what we really need to do is reach out to the other board members and find a way for us to make this
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that it needs to be a full meeting. In fact, today's meeting was intentionally 30 minutes so that I wouldn't take all of your time, so that we could get this vote and move forward. There will be more projects like this, and we've got to figure out a way to make this work. Like, I actually have another project that I've got to call this afternoon to figure out what it is that they're doing. And then if it makes sense for this board, I'll be presenting that one as well.
So that's important. If we have two of them, and that now we, this seven-member group,
you won't have two by then. This is the first conversation.
Okay.
One suggestion that happened to do with doodle polls too, and all of us is, if we have things like this that are short meetings, even maybe we do it a little bit off hours. You know what I'm saying? Before the workday or after the workday, instead of just 9 to 4 or something like that. You know, for having us all go down here at 7:30 or at 5 o'clock. I mean, just to sit here for 20 minutes to prove something, I think you might get people a little more open, and then they don't have their business during the day that's conflicting.
Yeah. And now that we know what it is,
well,
I think you can articulate
that,
a little
to me,
better.
That's the most important part, because I'm able to get on the phone, talk to a board member, and say, this is what it's about, and this is why it's important you give me a commitment that you're going to be here.
But that's just trying to make it a time where there's less, lack of a better term, less conflicts.
Okay, so I'm wondering, you know, for me,
even
this,
lunchtime.
This is a good time. I mean, you know, I have to come up from Mission Viejo, but
well, yeah, 8:30 is good.
But it allows me, you know, to do other things that I can do in this particular area. I don't know about the other folks. Does this time?
I'm just talking about the quick meetings, the ones that are half an hour.
But if we know it's going to be a half hour, we could have a meeting. If we came here at 8, we could have done this and still gone to the meeting.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
But he was thinking a board meeting, it's going to go to 11 o'clock.
Well, it did say that.
Yeah.
I had two meeting notes.
Yeah, I know, but
I had two notes.
Nobody read them.
I ended up getting two meeting notices.
Yeah. I
didn't think that it went out.
But one was a half hour and one went till 11 o'clock.
11, yeah, my schedule said 11.
I have two meeting notes. One is till 11.
I have the same as you.
And so I wasn't sure when I came here today which time it would be.
Yeah, that's why I said I had to leave early, Karma, because my assistant told me it goes to 11.
So
it's okay. It's all right.
If we established a meeting, a Wednesday meeting from 8:30 to say 9, that works for you all.
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
Yes.
You know,
typically.
Every Wednesday, but usually.
Usually on a, because Wednesdays, this building, it sort of like is repetitive. And
but if you want to get more people, I think even a half an hour earlier might even do better. 8 to 8 o'clock. Or
so,
something.
So I guess what I think I hear you say is that you'd like for me to send out a question to all the board members about availability, so that we're not in this position.
You know, tell me if I'm able to do this, but you know, I can get on the phone with each one of these our board members. I cannot do that. Okay.
Want to take a poll?
You're right.
And ask them to attend.
That's the Brown Act.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Should we do a conference call or a webinar? Everybody's online.
Yeah, is there a way to do a webinar? Maybe, or email out the information in advance?
Well, so the information is emailed in advance, but remember you have to give public notice, and so the public has a right to make a comment on the project as well.
Oh, yeah, they can't show up on
it. I think that the intention and what we're trying to do, this is the correct format. I think that it's, yes, I can find other hours, but I really do need board members to understand that everything that we do is important.
Well, and they need to understand this is part of our board responsibilities.
True.
Wasn't clear. I liked your question. I was going to ask it as well what our role was, and now I understand that this is one of our responsibilities.
It absolutely is one of your responsibilities.
The big one.
So maybe as you're redoing the board, reminding people this is one of their responsibilities.
I intend to do an orientation in July, so when we get new board members in, everyone will attend and we'll go over what does it mean to be on the board.
But perhaps some of the existing ones need to know that as well.
I will do that too. I'll fight them as well.
Okay, so.
Looking at the empty seats.
What are we deciding here? Are we gonna do 8 o'clock?
Well, I think we need to ask the people who are not here.
Need to ask.
Yeah.
Need to.
Well, I think we can start with us that are here. You know, and then we'll dial for the rest of them to join us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm okay with 8:30.
This is just for a quick, right? This is a quick thing.
This is fine.
I agree, so it's a half an hour. I think it's a lot easier for people too.
Yeah, this is fine. 8:30, 9 is fine.
Okay, hold on, we got three conversations going on. Did I hear 8:30?
Yeah.
What day?
Okay, on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
On A? Depends which Wednesday.
Typically.
Did we pick it up?
Do you want to shoot for next Wednesday? But here's what would need to happen.
So I'm gone for 2 weeks after this Friday. I'm sorry, but I am going to be going to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, good
so
for
you'll,
you.
you'll see me somewhere on a rim.
Good
somewhere.
For you.
Not taking a picture.
Well, then somebody else
next Wednesday
not here
at this time is the
OCBC up.
Economic Development event in Anaheim Convention
Center. So May 29th.
So going to that.
May 29th, 8:30?
That's the OCBC. They're having their event.
Can I highlight you? We're making a decision about
we need to,
with
they
same
need
people
to
in the
do
room
their research.
Who we don't know if they're going to be able to commit.
Yeah,
so I don't
right.
think that we,
yeah.
I don't think we stick it to Wednesday. I think
no.
that we call them. So
it
if you want to call
day.
Them on and say, hey,
any
we
day.
Need to make it a vote,
right.
what availability do you have next week?
Yeah.
And then try to coordinate a day
yeah.
where you know that at least 9 people will be able to come here. But here's the other challenge of that. I'm still required to give 72 hours notice to the public that we're holding a meeting.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So I need to know by Friday if you're trying to have it next Wednesday or Thursday.
So,
wow.
so you all will make the calls?
What gives us 2 days?
You'd like me to?
Well, I can't do it, right?
You can call. You
can
make call
a call.
To,
you can't hold a poll. You
yeah,
can't hold
them. You can call and tell them it's important to be here.
Yeah.
Right, and you
no,
can
that,
see they can be here.
Okay,
yeah.
then let me clarify. That's the question I was asking.
That's right.
Can I get on the phone and tell them that we need to have you at this meeting and get a commitment?
Yes.
It's important.
I can
mm-hmm.
do that.
You can do that.
Okay.
It's going to take a half hour. That's it. We're out of
yeah.
People
that's
typically
people
see this
know.
Meeting
mm-hmm.
and they think, we're going to be here all morning, and they didn't know what SEDS was. I've had two people ask me, what the hell is SEDS?
And,
well, and one of the meeting notices looked like it was 2.5 hours.
Yes, yeah. Well, there was a lot to look at, so
yeah.
everybody figured, this is going to be a long, I told my work, this is going to be a long meeting. I may be out by 11.
I assure
mm-hmm.
you, my strategy is to try to make our meeting shorter.
Wow.
That's my strategy. It'll
take
me
oh, I don't care
but
if they're long. It's just we need to know when it is a quick one. This
yeah.
is a quick
yeah.
one.
And then people
yeah.
will come
yeah.
in.
That's
yeah.
okay. We'll do it again.
Okay.
We'll
make a stamp on the paper and adios.
No stamping.
Carmen, is there, we didn't get, at least I didn't see any materials that came with the notice. Is there a chance that the materials can go out?
That's odd.
I didn't.
No, I
got
the
material.
So
I have
all
that.
Oh, really? I did. I got a copy
so
over it.
Let me say that I think my email might have been too big because that's what I was worried about.
Mm.
I
our
sent
firewall
three
might
times
yeah.
with attachments, and I'm
and
worried that maybe
I didn't get it.
Did you get it with the attachments?
Yes.
I got
well,
no,
so
I never got
was
it.
On that email with the
yeah.
attachments.
Yeah.
See,
I
didn't
I'll
get that,
check. I don't
but I got
oh,
two meetings.
I didn't see attachments.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
so
there was a whole list of
meetings.
Right,
there
was a list of attachments.
But I didn't get all
the
documents.
Yeah.
I just
forgot.
I missed it, so I don't know.
And
no
documents.
Almost everything
in here
was
on the
attachments.
She literally told me it goes to 11.
Every one of these
attachments. I can't get
huge.
A half hour, one with 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Which I almost called them yesterday and said, which one of these documents is right?
You are going to reach out to all the board members and try to get them to commit to a date and let me know so that I can try to send out the board materials.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound logical to me. I think you ought to put out a doodle poll or something like that.
We did that.
Well,
that
well just don't do it all every
did.
Hour of the day.
I can figure out. Yeah. So I did the doodle poll and I wasn't successful. So we called a meeting.
But you can't just go anytime next week. You gotta have.
It's holiday.
Are we trying to
holiday
trying
weekend?
Wednesday,
and she has 72
right?
hours.
No, Wednesday's a problem. There isn't
so
a
so you're looking at later
there.
In the week.
Yeah. OCBC, a lot of people.
You have to build in your 72 hours,
yeah.
so it's probably Thursday
yeah.
or Friday.
Yeah, so we can do. You know, I think.
Right?
So Thursday or Friday. So 8:30 Thursday or Friday is the goal, I guess. At this
okay, because then I'll give you notice if we know by Friday.
Because they need to give 72 hour notice.
Yeah.
So I need to know by this Friday if we can commit. Board members could commit, so I could resend it out to the public.
So
I'm missing Monday, so remember my 72.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So we're talking
yeah.
the 30th or the 31st.
30th or 31st.
I just, you know, like, I won't be here the 31st. Only the 30th. See?
So we'll try for the 30th.
Well, they got to get 9.
It's horrible
do it.
Scheduling.
I know.
But I can do Thursday.
If I can get 9.
Yeah. And currently we have, what, 16, 17?
I can do the
16 on the roster.
Yeah, okay.
I can do 30, not 31.
All right.
I'm good for both, but let's
okay.
Go with everybody.
So I'll reach out and I'll work with you staff
okay.
And
Okay.
So I hold that. 8:30 we're gonna hold.
Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday.
I think we can put it down now if you want us to.
Right. I don't want you to put it down yet.
It's okay, I got something else and it's already on it.
What else do we have?
At this time that's all we have to present today.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds
all right,
good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You.
And we'll
leave here.
Make sure the other folks understand how important this is.
So I'm going to do the Bartlett.
Well,
that's fine. Yeah, no worries. That's fine.